This is the National Public Broadcast of Imam Dabideen Muhammad, Muslim leader.
I introduce to you now the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a native son of Detroit, Michigan, and our leader always, Imam Dabideen Muhammad. Our greeting is peace be unto you, and as we say in our Islamic, our religious language, Assalamu alaikum. We praise God, we thank Him for our life, for our being, for our presence here today, and for the good, beautiful reception that we have been given by the mayor, this city, and you who are attending this affair today. We salute the servants of God from Adam till today. We give the last prophet Muhammad the salutation of the salute, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, prayers and the peace be upon him. Ameen. I want to begin this address by saying all people are equal in origin, in their original nature, according to revelation given to prophets before Muhammad, and the same was given to Muhammad, the prophet of Arabia, about 14 centuries and so ago. All people come from one origin, one and the same origin. And we are deceived by the enemy of mankind, that is Satan, and our religion, Satan, is called the enemy of mankind. Adu wa nas, the enemy of all people, Satan. Shaitan, in the Quranic Arabic language, Shaitan. The Bible talks about inheritance. The Quran talks about inheritance. And if we understand it, our idea, our political idea, for this great country, the United States of America, is also established upon a belief in inherent rights or inheritance. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And it goes on to say that no government can take these rights away. They are rights that we are born with. So these are rights that the government didn't give us. These are rights that our Creator gave us. And by the way, as the Constitution didn't say Jesus Christ, it didn't say Allah, the first words, in fact, the first five lines, or first five sentences, called ayat, to Muhammad the Prophet, came to him, and the word Allah is not in any of those five sentences. So Muhammad, the first communication he got from God, he didn't learn the name Allah, not from the communication anyway. God says to Muhammad, read. First word to Muhammad, read. First words of the Quran to Muhammad, read, he said, in the name of your Lord who created. The one who created human beings from a congealed blood. Two lines, not Allah yet. Then he said again, read, and your Lord is most generous. And the one who taught man how to record, use the pen, the writing pen. And he taught the human being, what the human being was not before knowing, what he never knew before. These are the five lines. First five lines communicated to Muhammad the Prophet from God. Why am I saying this, that Allah, the name Allah, is not mentioned in the first communication to Muhammad? Why am I saying this? The connection for our life is with creation. So the first way, the first name that's given to Muhammad of God is God the Creator. Since we call God by different names, I'm sure the wise writers and founding fathers of this great political idea that we have in America, I'm sure that they chose not to say Jesus Christ or not to say God. They didn't even say God. Because there will be many people coming to this democracy, living here. They foresaw that. In fact, that was the invitation from the very beginning. It began with people who were persecuted abroad, overseas, and they came here for a place to live their life of their choice, the life of their choice. So this is a country that's going to be a country of many. And the founding fathers, seeing ahead of time, seeing into the future, use no language that would disrespect any of us or that would exclude any of us. Creator, all of us can accept that equally, because we are equally the creation of God. Adam, in religion, both Quran, Bible, and the Bible, and the Quran, our holy book, the Quran, and in the holy book of the Christians, the Bible. In both these books, we have Adam as the name of the first human to exist on this earth. And we are told that this Adam was created by God. And he was made from the earth, from the ground. In fact, it says from the dust of the ground. From the dust of the ground, the dust of the earth, he was made. And it goes on to tell us how he became the father of all people, of all people. So we identify in our mortal body and in our original human spirit, we identify with Adam, the first father. Adam, the first father. Now, just reading the story, to me, it sounds like myth, not like reality. It sounds like myth. Because how do you make a man from dust and make dust adhere together, make it hold together with water, say the rain came, and then he formed a man, and make it hold together with water, mud, and breathe into that mud and it become a living soul. To me, that's more like myth than reality. And anybody believe that literally, you're not ready to help Detroit or the neighborhood I'm living in or any other place. Okay. You have a problem. And really, these stories are for children. And the men know how to translate those stories. If you're a man, you're supposed to know how to translate the story. I don't mean man in the world. I mean man in knowledge. I'm not talking about a man in the world. But we know many men in the world, they can't read at all. No. But if you're a man in knowledge, you're supposed to know how to translate that and see it in reality. No. In its first picture that it presents is nothing but myth. It has to be understood. I once said on a radio program, and I was then rejected by my father. I was not inside of this organization called the Nation of Islam at that time. And I was trying to get back in. In fact, he had permitted me to come to him, his house, and I could attend, but he was not permitting me to lecture, to give speeches. So they thought they would get me put back out, put me out again, the officers of the Nation of Islam. When they got the tape, they thought they had something to get me put out so I would never come and speak again. So they gave it to my father. I didn't know he had it. So at the Sunday dinner, he invited me to come to the Sunday dinner, and I was sitting at the table there. He said, "Son, we want to play a tape." I didn't know what it was, but I've never been afraid of anything I do or say. I've never been afraid of anything I did or said, because I'm always trying to say the right thing. And when you know you're trying to do right, you're not afraid. So anyway, they played the tape. And then at one part, at placing the tape, my father, who was sickly too, he stood up and thought, and he said, "My son's got it." Now, this is before you all knew that I was going to be a leader soon, because he was sick at that time. It wasn't 2 years before I was a leader. Anyway, he said, "My son's got it." And he looked at my mother. My mother was sitting there. Now, this is about, my mother's sitting there. Can't recall it. Maybe 72. Maybe 1972, around there. Somewhere around there. Right about around there. And he looked at my mother. He said, "Isn't that right, Clara?" And my mother, that bright smile, is dark. She's very dark-skinned. Look at the teeth, and she smiled. Her face looked like the sun. And she was smiling with that bright smile, and she said, "Yes." So this is what we've been waiting for. And my father said, now he got me baffled. What in the world did I say? I wonder what I said. But as I thought about it and thought about it, I said, I know what moved him. In the book, the lady, I got her attention too, the interviewer. I got her attention too. She said, I wish you would do more on that topic. I said, I plan to write a book on it one day. She said, "Will you please come back to my show when you do?" I said, "Yes." The title of my talk on the show was Myths, the Burden on America. That was the title of my talk. Myths, the Burden on America. Now, I hope you'll understand where I was coming from as I go on with this address. When we identify with Adam, we should understand that Adam is to have us identify with Mother Earth, with the ground, with the land. He created the man from the earth. Now, if I would just tell you that all that he was said there means that he made the first man an industrialist, would you believe me? Your father, your first father was an industrialist. That's what that means. That story is to tell you your first father was an industrialist, and he was made by God. He had the human nature and the spirit that God wanted in him, and he was an industrialist. If you read the Bible, Genesis, you'll see that all of the builders, all of the metal workers came from Adam. It doesn't say he made Adam and then say this one preached the word of God and had the Holy Ghost. No, he made Adam and then industry comes. Metal workers, industry. The farmers and all. They come behind Adam. So Adam is not the story of the Holy Ghost. Adam is the story of natural man, interested in the environment that God put him in and having a spirit to develop that environment. God created all of us to have a spirit to develop our environment. Whether it's land unoccupied, like Adam, he was the first one to occupy the land, or whether it's a city that needs our help. God has created us to engage our environment and make it more beautiful and make it more productive. If this is a message from God, then this is a message that awakens my intelligence, it awakens my creativity, it awakens my spirit to achieve wonders in this universe. And those who have achieved wonders in this universe, they have followed the true tradition of our first father, Adam. Those who built cities, made roads, connected continents, put a higher form of transportation in the air. These are the ones that have followed the tradition of Adam. Now, Adam is not our only father. Am I taking the myth out of this a little bit for you? I hope I am. We're trying to separate myth from religion. Now, the Holy Ghost is good and bad. It is. It's bad for those who think they got God's Spirit, but they're behaving as though they got the Holy Ghost. So those who have that kind of Holy Ghost, it's bad. I think Paul addresses that in the Bible. He said, those who speak in tongues, they can only understand. Well, I want to tell Paul, not even them, not even they understand. He said, but what we need is to edify, to put common sense together, put reason on reason, logic upon logic. So that's what we need to do, give some construction to the thing. That's what Paul said. I'm elaborating on it, but that's what Paul said. All right. Now, there was a great man, mysterious, but when you get to know him, he's not mysterious at all. But I'm talking about the man that took my father off the streets of this city, lost it during the Depression, not having any faith in the future. He never was a churchgoer. His father was a Baptist preacher, Willie Poole, who later wore the name Wali Muhammad, my grandfather, that I loved so much when he died, I wanted to die with it. Yes, he was the first man to father me. My father was away and serving 5-year prison term, but he had my grandfather and my grandmother come and live with us while he was away. So our first father I knew in my house was my grandfather. I didn't know my father until I was about 13, almost 14 years old, before I knew my father inside the house. But he was in there. And I was obeying him. Because if I didn't, my mother would kill me. Yeah, she took care of whatever her husband couldn't take care of, she took care of it in that house. That's right. My mother, Clara Muhammad. Clara Evans Muhammad. Both from Georgia, father and mother. Well, anyway, the mysterious man, Mr. W.D. Farad, he's called Farad Muhammad, and Wali Farad, called by different names, but the more common name for him in the writings that we have and also in the teachings we have is W.D. Farad. And you'll find W.D. Farad in the dictionary, in the encyclopedia, you'll find it's W.D. Farad. So Mr. W.D. Farad was a very wise man, and he knew that if he was going to change the uneducated African Americans, see, an educated African-American has a different attitude. Once he's educated, he's got a different attitude. Mr. Farad didn't want any of them. He said, Du Bois tried to get them and bring changes for blacks with them. I'm gonna do something different. He said, I'm going after those who are uneducated. So he came to the slums of Detroit, and he gathered around him a good number of poor people, not only poor in their pockets, but poor in education and culture. And he knew that they hadn't been given English 102 or higher English, they had to study literature to learn how to translate fiction or translate allegory or allegorical language. They couldn't read Gulliver's story and translate it. You know, he knew that. So he's dealing with people who are uneducated, but they're under the rule of darkness. Because if you, Margaret Mead, I think it was, she said, only the educated are free. Now, I would have to add to that, only when the educated are free from myth. They can be educated, but if they're still not free from myth, they're not free. You're only free when you're free from myth. I'm not going to tell you, spell out the myth that you are under. I'll leave that for you to do. But most people are under myth, the rule of myth. They're under the rule of myth. They're controlled by myth in their life, not by reality. And Satan loves that. The shaitan, the enemy of God, the enemy of mankind. He loves that you be under myth and not under reality. God wants us under reality and under him who created the reality that we identify as reality. He created all of that. And we want all of us to be under the authority of God. But if the authority of God is confused, and we are made to see God as some myth, we'll be deprived of God as the rule in our life. Yes. Mr. Farad was an Asian, and we were told he was from the Far East. But again, you know, Mecca is not Far East. So we were told he was from the Near East, or from the Middle East, probably. The Middle East, too. But we have concluded that he was from the Far East. He was from Asia. He did something that made possible my freedom. My foreparents were freed by the emancipation of our people, free from physical enslavement. You can take a free man and put him in chains, limit his physical movement. He will not be a slave necessarily, even though you're making him do everything. He'll still be a free man, though you have him chained, although you have him in prison, although you have his movement, his physical movements restricted. He will still be a free man in a body that you have enslaved. You won't be able to enslave his spirit. You won't be able to enslave his mind. He will be a free man, though he will be your captive, your prisoner. The wiser ones who wanted to use us and not see us enjoy this country as free people with them, and they were many, not limited to the South, Northeast, Midwest, everywhere. They were many. They didn't have to worry about us being physically free as long as we were mentally enslaved. So Mr. Farrar was a very wise man. He said, I'm going to work a strategy that will free them and they will no longer be mentally enslaved. So he said he come to resurrect, using his words, to resurrect, give life again to dead. He come to resurrect the mentally dead, using his exact language. He said he come to resurrect the mentally dead. I believe God was with him. I don't think a man could do this all by himself. I have been created from my father and mother's flesh. I have been created. And I don't think a man could do that without the help of God. No. So anyway, he told my father that you shouldn't believe in the Bible, shouldn't believe in Christianity. He said, that's to enslave you. That was given you to you to enslave you. I'm not knocking the church or Christianity, but I have to recognize what worked in this formula that was used by this man to make a new people of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and those who would follow him. I have to recognize that. Okay. Because I know there's some Christians, I met some Christians, some very wonderful Christians, very wise Christians, and they know how to separate stories and fiction from truth. All Christians are not living in the dark. So I know that, you know. And as long as we have alive people in heaven watching over us, we can't fare too bad on earth. but what about those who get separated from even their health coming from the live people up there? Like most of us have done. Most of us, even the preachers, and I know some of you here today. Some of you here wearing Muslim names, some of you Christian preachers. I know you very well. You're here today. You're here every time I speak. Every time it's announced that I'm going to speak, you're here. I don't blame you. You're doing right to come, brother.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 1708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.